abandon free market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
There will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It is Wednesday, January 15th, 2014. Tom Woods here. And as always, at noon Eastern, Monday through Friday, we are smacking down government propaganda at TomWoodsRadio.com. And after that, on iTunes and any old podcatcher you like, as a podcast. Today we're talking about foreign policy again, but this time with a bit of a twist, with a golden rule aspect to it. And I know you are going to enjoy hearing from our guest, Connor Boyack. Connor is the founder and president of the Libertas Institute in Utah, which is a liberty-oriented public policy think tank there. He's a graduate of Brigham Young University and is the author of three books, Latter-day Liberty, Latter-day Responsibility, and Anxiously Engaged, Essays on Faith, Family, and Freedom. But today I want to talk to him about this incredible new site that he's got. It's the Golden Rule News Network. And if this works out, this is going to change a lot of minds and channel conversations in directions they've never gone before. That's all I want to say, because if I say anything else, I'm going to spoil it, and I'm going to steal poor Connor's thunder, and I don't want to do that. So right now, I want to welcome Connor Boyack to the program. Connor, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
All right, before we talk about this website, which I love, by the way, I want you to first talk about what you might have in mind when you're using the term golden rule in connection with foreign policy. There's a certain former presidential candidate who comes to mind in connection with all this.
Yeah, I mean, so for those who just, you know, are moving from a different planet or from some desert where they never heard of this before, the golden rule is largely a religious concept, though many non-religious ethicists share it as well. It's a very pervasive concept in our society. And that is, as it's taught in Matthew by Jesus, he says in that instance, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And it's said differently by different religious leaders. Most of the large world religions have this concept. It's basically treat other people as you want them to treat you. It's a very simple concept, essential core to human relations. As you note, as it relates to foreign policy, it came up in the recent presidential debates in South Carolina. The presidential candidates in the Republican Party were fielding a question on foreign policy, and everyone except for Ron Paul advocated increased military intervention. Newt Gingrich, for example, suggested that the approach that to those he labeled America's enemies was simply to, quote, kill them. And Mitt Romney doubled down. He says, you know, of course you take out our enemies wherever they are. These people declared war on us. They've killed Americans. We go anywhere they are and we kill them. And so you have this just, you know, rabid foam at the mouth response from all these other candidates. And then you have Ron Paul, who kind of strikes a different chord. And he says, if another country does to us what we do to others, we're not going to like it very much. So I would say that maybe we have to consider a golden rule in foreign policy. Don't do to other nations what we don't want them to do to us. And this is very consistent. It's extremely consistent with the golden rule. Let's try and apply it not just to interpersonal relationships. This isn't just something between husband and wife or siblings or coworkers. Ron Paul is suggesting that even nations are just groups of people, and let's treat other people even outside of our immediate sphere of influence how we would want them through their governments, through their militaries, to be treating us. And so the reaction was quite interesting. Keep in mind, in South Carolina, it's predominantly, I think it was Baptist, right, is the specific denomination that's very strong in South Carolina, but largely Christian. You would think that these people would understand the golden rule and would, at least to some degree, be willing to support it. And yet, when Ron Paul suggested this in the context of foreign policy, he was outright and very loudly booed by the audience. And so it was an interesting dynamic to see Christians of all people having this response. It was almost, I might call it Pharisaical. Recall, of course, that Jesus Christ, you know, came and was belittling the Pharisees, who had created this complex legal and moral system that allowed them to feel good about their own, what he termed, wickedness. And so here you have Christians in our day who have largely rejected the foreign policy based on the Golden Rule. And that's what our project is seeking to do, is to kind of restore that angle, much along the lines that Ron Paul had discussed in that debate.
Now, before we get to the nature of that project, though, let me raise what I think a lot of the people in that South Carolina audience would say in response to you. They would say, well, look, Boyack, your problem is you are establishing a false moral equivalence here. The fact is, they're bad and we're good. You can't stand around saying, well, gosh, you know, if other countries treated us the way we treat them, look, we do what we have to do because they're bad and because they're threatening to do bad things to people around the world. We don't do them because we take a perverse delight in doing bad things. We're good and they're bad. That's the distinction here that a libertine like you can't seem to recognize.
And in sympathy for people who might employ that criticism, let's at least give them the benefit of the doubt, recognizing that they're facilitated in that opinion that they have by a media that dehumanizes people who are, you know, have brown skin or live in third world countries or that, you know, aren't in a Western culture. They've, you know, largely grown up in a system of media that has helped them to adopt that system that sees them as unequal and different and therefore not like them and worthy of being excluded, if not, you know, deemed an enemy of the state or combatants or insurgents or whatever you want to call them. And so I sympathize with people who share that view only in that they're ignorant for good reason and they haven't been exposed to the truth because they don't know where it is and they haven't heard these ideas before. Of course, the ideas are wrong, right? I mean, just because these people, it's like Obama now, their administration's policy is to call anyone an insurgent who's over the age of 17 and in the vicinity of an actual known insurgent who is targeted by a drone strike. And so if you're the brother or a cousin or a merchant standing next to the guy and the bomb drops on you, you're all of a sudden implicated as being associated with that allegedly bad actor, and therefore you are also an insurgent. And so the legal system, the media, everything kind of helps people adopt this personality. They're quite wrong, but I can at least understand why people think that way if they do share that opinion.
Well, tell me now about this Golden Rule News Network that you've started up. Give me an example of an article that somebody might read on that site, and then tell us what is the spin that's been put on it.
Well, as pretext for giving you an example, let's keep a bit of history is needed. So people who already agree with us, who are like-minded, or even just only by a little bit, we've often entertained these theoretical examples, right? So let's say Anwar al-Awlaki is assassinated, and then a couple weeks later, his 16-year-old son. And the anti-war activists and the libertarians, we all try and generate conversation with people and say, well, how would we like it if, you know, another nation did that to us? It's exactly what Ron Paul was bringing up. We try and have these conversations. Maybe sometimes we're persuasive, but it's really hard to kind of crack that nut that these people, you know, live in, that shell, and get them to really entertain the idea. So a few weeks ago, it was last month in December, Reuters broke the story, which since just exploded, and that was the bombing of a wedding convoy in Yemen by a drone. And I think like a dozen people were killed, if I'm remembering right. It was over a dozen people. You know, they were coming back from a wedding. It was tragic. And there was a piece in The Atlantic that really kind of catalyzed the thought process for me to start this project. It was an article, and he says, this is in The Atlantic, he says, can you imagine the wall-to-wall press coverage, the outrage and the empathy for the victims that would follow if an American wedding were attacked in this fashion, or how you'd feel about a foreign power that attacked your wedding in this fashion? Again, he's employing the same thing that Ron Paul did, the same thing that we do. He's trying to generate this conversation, this Golden Rule analysis of foreign policy. Reading that, though, finally prompted me to say, well, you know, these conversations have proven largely ineffective. Maybe just on, you know, random instances, someone is waking up and realizing the error of their ways and they're becoming an anti-war activist or learning to promote peace rather than war. But it's not as effective. It's not having the impact that it should merely to talk about it. So that was the genesis of the website. And it's much like The Onion. Everyone's familiar with TheOnion.com. They use satire to really poke fun at something or make a point in an effective way to get people to think about things slightly differently than they might otherwise hear of or be exposed to. So in this specific example, we've got the bombing of a wedding convoy in Yemen. And essentially on our site, all we do is we take real-world examples, such as this one, and we change the names and the locations and all the key components of the article and flip them around to be American. And so suddenly the drone attack killing a wedding convoy in Yemen becomes a missile strike from a Chinese carrier off the West Coast, killing a caravan of American college students because they were going after an alleged hacker that was in that caravan that had hacked their secretive firewall network in China. So we changed the circumstances a little. And when we first shared that story, it went all over Facebook. People, of course, first thought it was real.
Yeah.
And so they were just, outraged. How could this happen? What's going on? And then they realized it's satire. And it generated a lot of great conversation that we were getting that we saw happening on other people's threads as they were copying around. And so that's one of many examples. And sadly, there are many examples to use because this happens all the time. So we have no shortage of articles that we're going to be able to use in the weeks and months ahead to do this exact kind of thing.
Are you the website, or do you have a stable of writers who are able to convert these stories into sort of thought experiment type stories?
Yes to both questions, really. I started it. I've written most of the articles that are up there now, but we have a team of interested people who are going to be kind of freelancing and contributing to this. The real impact of the website, I think, is not going to be in the historical stuff. I mean, we're going all the way back, right? There was the example of the U.S. military infecting people in Guatemala in the 1940s with STDs. And so we're turning that around and having that happen to Americans. So we can go back through history and do some of these egregious things. I think, though, the staying power, the biggest impact of the website is going to be with events in the future or what will then be current events, right? Think of just a few weeks ago when the Yemeni bombing of the wedding convoy happened. If this website existed, if we were able to quickly publish a companion piece, everyone's, talking about reading these stories in the news. And if we can get a satirical story out there that twists it, it's going to be a lot more relevant and have a lot more impact. So we do have a team of people who are involved, not only in doing research and what stories might be good to write that have already taken place, but to be ready once, an event happens in the future, a drone kills another, innocent family. We can quickly get an article out the gate and have people, try and change the debate with their friends and circle of influence.
You mentioned using historical events, and I agree with you that I think it's events that are going to occur in the future that will be your greatest, the most low-hanging fruit and the easiest for proselytizing for these ideas. But it calls to mind, for example, the decision under Franklin Roosevelt to establish the relocation camps for the Japanese and Japanese Americans. And that sort of incident, if that occurred in some country that the United States and the American people consider to be their enemies today, if that occurred in their history, we would never hear the end of it, of how this just goes to show how incorrigibly evil these people are. But when it's in U.S. history, we either glide over it or we try to minimize it. Or our first instinct, and I mean a lot of just average Americans, their first instinct is, I must defend my government. I must put them in the most favorable light possible. Well, I bet people in other countries feel the same way. They got to put their stupid government in the most favorable light possible. How about not doing that for a minute? How about just stopping and saying, look, I don't care whose government this is, whether it's theirs or mine. I have no say in any of these governments. They don't give a crap what I think about anything. And they're engaged in atrocities that I should acknowledge are atrocities regardless of who's carrying them out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm glad you brought that up, because the way we're going to be effective with these articles, I think, is using kind of the boogeyman, right? For example, we've got John Yoo, who worked as, legal counsel for George Bush. Mm-hmm. And here's a guy who says there's, absolute authority for the president to do anything he deems best in protecting the country, including torturing a small child. I won't get into the graphic nature.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
Of that story.
Yeah, it's bad. Horrifying torture that he envisions. Yes.
And so we turn it around into North Korea, right? The article, the title, if you go on the website, is North Korea Claims Authority to Torture American Children. And, you know, in that example, they have some American prisoners, like tourists who were nearby, and they claim that they were spies. So they've got these American prisoners, and you know, the chief lawyer for North Korea is saying this stuff. And that one went viral. I mean, just people were outraged. How could this happen? And that this is exactly the kind of reaction that we're trying to get with these articles, is to say, yeah, look, it's easy to think that way when you read a headline and it's just this North Korean boogeyman, the dictator over there. But when they actually get in the article and they realize, oh, well, wait a minute, you know, this happened in America, I think it's going to be a lot more persuasive than just pitching theoretical ideas to people, because you're exactly right. We're all too prone, I should say, again, that collective we, of being apologists for the state in which we live. And so we're trying to break that paradigm. And I think using the boogeyman that currently exists around the world that people more easily find to be objectionable, and how could they do something like this? Those are going to be the easy examples and the people that we include in the stories, because people are more likely to be enraged at a known boogeyman rather than, you know, the president of the United States.
You know, when I gave that example, when I talked about people who are desperate to search for corroborating evidence to support the claims of their government, or to find justifications for what their government did, that was me. That's what I did when I was younger. You know, the U.S. government would do some crazy thing, and people on the left would criticize it, so I would think, well, therefore, I'm obligated to defend it. No, I'm not. I mean, this is a twisted way of thinking that we're all sort of indoctrinated into, and what you're doing is, I think, trying to draw us out of it. Now, it's easy for me to sit here on the other side of this microphone and give you assignments, but I am going to do that, because what I'm thinking about is, eventually, sometime down the road, I like the idea of videos, because The Onion does videos. I like to see a news broadcast where it's 30 seconds of the made-up version, the Golden Rule version. And then you see like a, it goes in reverse. And then you say, oh, wait a minute, sorry, we got the names and the places wrong. Let's start that over again. And then they tell the real story. And then, bang, you've got your Facebook page at the end. You got your website name. And you just keep on harping on this day after day. I bet you'd get people out there who would love to help you out with video work, whatever. I mean, look, you're a busy guy. I am giving you assignments, but at least you can dream, right? Someday, wouldn't that be where you'd like to go?
It is. In fact, you know, we've got big dreams for the site. We're starting with war, because I think it's the most pertinent issue. You know, it's one thing to talk about some guy being locked up in jail. It's another when, you know, grandmas and kids are being blown up by, you know, drones at the behest of our military. And so it's the most sensational issue, but it's the most impactful one. You think about life, liberty, and property. Let's start first on the issue of life. But once we kind of get some writers, we get a steady stream of articles, we are going to branch out into other stuff, you know, government corruption and white-collar crime and transparency issues and all this kind of stuff. Doing videos would be a fantastic thing. And I think we have a real opportunity here. I mean, using social media, it's a very effective way, because think on Facebook, right? You log in and you see the link and you see a screenshot and you see a little blurb. And if we have the right screenshot and the right title, people are going to be attracted to that. It's going to catch their eye. They're going to read it and be outraged. They're going to click. It's been really effective so far, just to leverage social media and get these things to be more easily spread around, rather than, you know, going to some academic conference or reading a white paper or some theoretical conversation. These things all are good. They have their place. I don't want to minimize them. But I think in our soundbite generation, where people are unwilling to, you know, read anything that's longer than a couple pages and spend a lot of time, this is a good opportunity to really try and persuasively get to people and help them understand that, look, your initial gut reaction of this is wrong is right. You need to make sure that you're just consistent in that when it's your own government, when it's, you know, your own politicians. And so I'm really hopeful that utilizing social media is going to be a really effective thing to kind of change the debate and get people to think a little bit more about this kind of stuff.
So remind everybody, if they want to check out your site, which I hope they will, what the URL is?
Yeah, it's very easy. It's just goldenrulenews.org, goldenrulenews.org.
And in the initial, I don't know, couple of months, how often can we expect to see some kind of update there?
So one of the things that we do to be a little bit sinister is we don't put dates on the articles, because if someone comes across an article that was written 5 months ago, we still want them to think that it was written that day as breaking news. Otherwise, they clearly would have heard about it on, you know, CNN or Fox.
Right. Good point.
So we try and get them. We don't date the articles. We randomize them, so it's not just come and see what's new. But yeah, we're going to try and do at least an article a week to get through some of the historical stuff, but we're kind of primed and ready so that as stuff happens going forward, you know, within an hour or two of that breaking news, we're going to try and have a companion article. So if and when bad stuff happens in the future for your listeners, you know, some drone attack makes the news and you want to try and, you know, persuade your neocon friends or whatever to realize how wrong that is, come check out the website. We'll have that link at the top, that breaking article, that we can then share with that relevant current news and try and change the conversation a little bit.
Well, Connor, this is very important and original work that you're doing, and I had no idea you were even doing it until one day out of the blue you just sent me a link to it so I could get a sneak preview of it, and I'm just thrilled, and I hope it does start a bunch of long overdue discussions among a great many people. Thanks so much again, Connor.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
All right, everybody, make sure and check out goldenrulenews.org, not .com, goldenrulenews.org. Spread around some of these stories and see where the conversations go. Before I let you guys go today, I want to update you on a couple things that I'm up to that you might find interesting. Of course, I've got events coming up this Saturday. I've got an event in Houston with Ron Paul, so you can check that out, get the details about that at my events page at tomwoods.com, which is my personal site. I'm also going to be speaking at Washington College in Chestertown, Maryland, February 7th and February 8th at Grove City College at the Austrian Student Scholars Conference in Grove City, Pennsylvania. As I say, the details on those are at tomwoods.com on the events page. But also, you guys know I am designing courses for the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum, and it is absorbing all the time that I'm not spending with you on the Tom Woods Show. It is all spent researching and preparing videos, many, many hundreds of videos to be exact, because each course is like a real high school course. It's a K through 12 curriculum, but I'm doing high school courses. And so it's 36 weeks, 5 video lessons a week. And so I've done, I don't know how many so far, but it's an awful lot. And this week, my government course launches over there at ronpaulhomeschool.com. So you can go check that out. Eventually, you will be able to get my courses a la carte without joining the Ron Paul homeschool site, but that's later in the year. But I just wanted to update you on what it is I'm doing. In order to get the curriculum site up and running as quickly as possible, we decided that all the course providers would prepare 8 weeks' worth of course material, 8 weeks' worth of videos for each course, and then we'd open it. And then we course providers keep on adding a week's worth of courses every week, so we're always 8 weeks ahead of the students. So I'm still working on my government course that's opening this week. I've got about 40 or so lessons done. I'll have another 50 to go, but that should give the students enough to chew on for a while. But each week, there'll be more and more and more added, so I'm always going to be way ahead of the students. So this week in Western Civ, I did the Great Schism between the Orthodox Church and the Catholics. I did early French history. Well, we're talking about Middle Ages, but we're doing the early history of France as it becomes a centralized state. So beginning in the very non-centralized, decentralized France of the late 10th century, going up through into the 11th century and into the 12th century, watching centralization take place there in France. Then this week was basically the week where I explain how the medieval church worked. Obviously, you'd have to be an idiot to run a Western Civ course without explaining the medieval church, the sacramental system, methods of popular piety that were coming into common use, etc. Then in the government course this week, it's just been all kinds of things. I've covered all different areas of government intervention for the unit that we're on. So I covered farm programs and antitrust and labor unions and war and its effects on the economy and child labor laws and working condition laws and all kinds of topics like that. So it's super fun, even though it's incredibly exhausting. So find out about that program over at ronpaulhomeschool.com. And remember, I have my own program, much cheaper, by the way, but not totally as awesome, but sort of in the awesome range. More geared toward adult enrichment, but it's a good site that I'm very pleased with and proud of, and that's libertyclassroom.com. That's my own separate little project. We've got 9 courses up there. If you just subscribe, you get automatically get all 9 courses. We got a 10th one coming soon, and this month only, January 2014, if you join libertyclassroom.com and then send me a note on our contact page with your address, I'll send you a signed copy of my book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History, which is in its 10th year since its release. Unbelievable. All right, the schedule this week got a little screwy, but we are going to have Ben Swan this Friday. I'm going to be soliciting questions for Ben Swan over on my Facebook page, so if you're not liking that page, now's the time. Head over to facebook.com/Thomas E. Woods or just click on like on the Facebook widget at TomWoodsRadio.com. Also, next week, Walter Williams will join us toward the end of the week. I'll solicit questions for Walter Williams as well. And finally, my thanks to all you guys who have been helping us keep the lights on here in our little Tom Woods Show office by entering Amazon through our little Amazon widget at TomWoodsRadio.com. I sure appreciate that. All right, everybody, it's the drug war and our friend John Payne tomorrow. See you then.
The Tom Woods Show.